Jeremiah because of the present distress. That is what Paul mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians 7. In the present distress, God says, and also because of the word that he has to bear and all the sufferings he has to go through, God says, you must live a life of celibacy. Now that's another topic altogether. But in case any one of you are interested, number one, celibacy is a gift from God. And there's no such thing as first class celibacy, second class married. And so sometimes when a person is getting married, some people get very worried. They say, don't you want to be among the 144,000 virgins in the book of Revelations? They forget that the 144,000 virgins has nothing to do with the Gentile church. That's number one. Secondly, the 144,000 virgins may be possibly symbolic, not just actual. Now, it may be actual. We won't leave that out. But there's a strong possibility because of the symbolic meaning of the entire book of Revelations that that was also symbolic. Thirdly, the 144,000 refer back to Revelation 7 when the 12,000 of all the different tribes of Israel were chosen. So the 144,000, when later we look in the book of Revelations, that it has to do with more or less the Jewish dispensation that comes after the rapture. So the Gentile church don't have a real number. Because if people think that only 144,000 saved, friends, that number was passed decades ago. We are all left out. Paul makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that celibacy is a gift. Better give you all these scriptures since we touch on that topic. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, just give it quickly to you. Says in verse 7, Paul says, I wish that all men were even as I myself, but another in that. And then notice in the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, when the disciple says, therefore is no, it's better not to marry, Jesus says, all cannot receive this saying. Matthew 19 verse 11, all cannot receive this saying, but he says, Only those to whom it has been given. In other words, the life of celibacy is not a charge given to everybody. It's given to some. Then, Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 7, and he talks about the difficult times that the Corinthians were facing. During that time, possibly there was quite a spate of persecution, where lives could be annihilated. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when Paul was advising in regard to this area, he says here in verse 26, I suppose therefore that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for man to remain as he is. And he's talking about the present distress. Now we come back to Jeremiah, and we realize that God in chapter 16 of Jeremiah tells him to live a celibate life because of the dangers that he will be going through. His life will be endangered many times, and it is almost virtually impossible for him to live a normal family life. So God, in seeing ahead of time, has to call someone and give that person with such a gift of a celibate. It's a gift of God. Not all have that gift, but we have to mention that in case some of you have that gift. Those who have not, of course, the other gift is to be married. In case you're not sure what the other gift was. And anyway, the other gift to be married is, it has to be a male and female. God made Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Steve. And neither did he make Samantha and Eve. But he make them male and female. So that's the other gift. Now all the other things outside of that is not a gift. Those are perversions. There's only two choices. So Jeremiah had a call of God to a celibate life. And many prophets that you come across have that kind of call. And like Paul, he was an apostle. And the dangers he goes through, God knows ahead of time the kind of ministry, the kind of life that he has for you. And therefore, although today in our 20th century, to be a celibate is to be very peculiar. Because the average person gets married. But we need to recognize in the body of Christ that there is a gifting of God. And is dependent on a call and a ministry. Why does God do that? The explanation is given to us in Jeremiah 16. Which is where all these books tells us a lot of truths. In chapter 16, it talks about the danger Jeremiah is going to go through. And the sword, the famine, and all these things that are going to come, destruction. And it's not conducive to a family life. Let's look at the book proper now as we see as the God of love reaching out to the nation of Israel, trying to draw them back to Him. Basically, when God pronounces all these judgments, there were two main typologies He used. You can see from Jeremiah, looking over here at Jeremiah. And we look first at chapter 2, verse 32. It says, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Then in chapter 3, verse 1, they say, "If a man divorces his wife, and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Would not the land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlots with many lovers, yet," the Lord says, "yet return to me." God says, even the ordinary person who goes out and commits sin, etc., usually they are not received back. And God says, "Yet would you please, would you return to me?" Look at the heart of God. Although there is judgment, there is behind the judgment tenderness. Let's not forget the tenderness that is behind it. In looking over here in chapter 3, verse 19 to 22, and this is the approach that God always takes. Verse 19 to 22. He says, "How can I put you," chapter 3 verse 19 to 22, "how can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, you shall call me my father and not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord." Now there are two pictures that God gave when the judgment was being pronounced upon the nation of Judah. One was that God was the bridegroom and the husband. Spiritual type. And Judah and Israel were like the bride and the wife, who has been unfaithful, while God has been faithful. The second picture, as we saw from chapter 3, verse 19, is that God was their father. And it occurs here and there in different verses. And these are the two pictures that stand out clearly even when God was pronouncing judgment. God is saying, "I am your bridegroom. Why do you do this to me?" God is saying, "I am your husband. Why do you do this to me?" God is saying, "I am your father. Why do you do this to me?" Hear the cry of our God. The Old Testament revelation of God is the same. He is Father God. Same Father God. Except it didn't come in as clear and as strong as when Jesus came and He called God Father in His prayer. To make a seal of the revelation. The Old Testament is the new conceal. And the Old Testament, the New Old Testament is a new conceal, and the Old Testament, New Testament is the old reveal. Yeah, get it right. The Old Testament is the new conceal, and the New Testament is the old reveal. That means that concealed in the Old Testament, there is a revelation of the Father God. But in the New Testament, it was totally unveiled for all to see the heart of our Father through Jesus Christ. And we want to make that note very clear, because once we begin to move into the prophetic books, some of us have the impression of God as just an angry God who judges His people. Yet these people who have the impression didn't read the Bible properly. They didn't see the heart of God as Jeremiah brought it forth. Now all the judgmental prophecies that were pronounced was based on a lot of sins that the Israelite has fallen into. But basically, the main thing they have violated is expressed in Jeremiah chapter 11. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11, God says that this is a prime reason why judgment has to come. It says in verse 1 onwards, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant. Now what God is bringing to them, and which you will find the key. As always, when we teach through the Bible, we give keys to look further into the books. From chapter 1 to chapter 39 of Jeremiah, the key is the covenant. It talks about what keeping the covenant is. It talks about what breaking the covenant brings. It talks about what a covenant brings you into. And all the blessings of the covenant and all the things that we have to do in a covenant. If you're interested to study covenants and the details of it, Jeremiah chapter 1 to 39 has a lot of shadows inside about a covenant. Let's read on here. It says, verse 4, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you, so shall you be my people and I will be your God. You know what God is saying? God is saying that from the time that they came out, in fact, further back to that was the Abrahamic covenant. But when they came out from Egypt, they entered into the Mosaic covenant, which was a further development of the Abrahamic covenant. But all the time, Jeremiah 1 to 39, God is saying, I am the covenant God. Without a covenant, He doesn't work. But within the covenant as He works, there are conditional clauses and statements that are necessary for the covenant to work. God is saying that this covenant He has made with them, and verse 5, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, implying the Abrahamic covenant, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is this day. Then I answered and said, so be it, Lord. Then the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, and this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone walked in the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them. Look at him saying, therefore. In other words, God said, all these things are coming because you broke the covenant.